The Vampire Kitty Cat Chronicles, Chapter 8, Poor Little Vampire. An older version of Meg opened the door. I could see where Meg got her good looks and blonde hair. Mom was careful not to mash me when she gave Meg a little hug and a kiss on the cheek, and then said, "Who is your handsome friend?" Clearly this was where Meg got her cleverness, too. I preened mentally while Meg said, "This is Patch. We've kind of teamed up." Mom led us to a living room. I liked the look of the place. Plenty of soft-looking furniture to curl up on, and they had a fire going in the fireplace. In my former life, I would have loved to stretch out on the hearth and toast myself, but I didn't seem to feel heat and cold anymore. A loss, as far as I was concerned. A short, roundish man got up from a recliner and came to hug Meg. After the obligatory introduction of me, all I got from him was a nod. He said to Meg, "Glass of wine?" "Nothing, thanks, Dad." Meg settled onto a low seat, me in her lap. I've cut back, and I can't stay long. Her mom sat next to her while Dad returned to his chair. Mom said, "We've called several times. You're never home." Her voice was soft, but it dripped with accusation. So she wasn't all sweetness. Well, neither was Meg, thank goodness. Her trick with a cell phone had saved my tail, if not more. Meg didn't blink. "I've been busy. That's what I came to tell you about." Her father frowned. "You work too hard at that ad agency." "Not anymore. I'm into something new." She paused. Her parents waited. She stopped petting me and gripped my fur in a fist. It was a good thing that cats have loose skin. It's so comfortable, like I imagined flannel pajamas would be for people. I don't see how they can stand their hides being so tight. They must feel like sausages. I looked up and saw that mind-racing squint to Meg's eyes. She let go of my fur to wring her hands as she said, She stopped. Her parents leaned forward. Her mom said, "What is it, dear?" "Come on, woman, spit it out. I'm going to run for the city council." That was not exactly cutting to the chase. Her parents brightened. Dad said, "That's great, honey. We could use some new life there. I mean, one candidate's big issue is how short the grass should be mowed in the town square. It's time we had someone dealing with meaningful issues." "Oh, yeah." Meg said, "There's going to be a press conference tonight. I'll probably be on the 10 o'clock news." "Oh, gosh," her mom said. "Our little girl on television. We should call the neighbors and maybe have them over. Serve some wine and cheese."
"I don't think that would be a good idea."
"But why, sugar? They like wine and cheese."
Dad leaned forward in his chair and frowned.
"You're not trying to tell us that you're in favor of one-inch grass, are you?"
Meg clenched my fur with her other fist. Now my skin was getting a little tight. She said, "I'm going to be talking about minority rights." Mom smiled.
"That's nice, dear. Any particular minority?"
"Well, yes," Dad said.
"I thought we had all our minorities pretty well taken care of. I mean, we've got civil rights all over the place."
"Not really. There are a lot of people who aren't treated equally. There are gays, and now there are..."
"Oh, my God!"
Dad put his hand over his eyes.
"You're gay?"
Meg and Mom said at once, "What?" He stood and paced. "It's all clear now." His voice rose. "I mean, here she is in her 20s and not married, and she hasn't brought a man around for months." Mom's voice escalated too, but she aimed it at him.
"Maybe it's because you glare at them and grill them about how much they..."
"I'm a vampire." Meg's cry stopped her dad. Dead.
"You're not a lesbian?"
"No. Although there's nothing wrong with that." He collapsed back into his recliner.
"Thank God."
Her mother studied her. I thought you looked a little pale. At last, Meg opened her fists and let go of my skin. She stroked my back and said, "So is Patch. A vampire, that is. And we're going to campaign for our rights." Apparently, it took a while for things to sink in for Dad.
A vampire? Like in the movies?
He peered at her.
I don't see any fangs, and you don't look dead to me. I mean, you're talking.
Technically, I think it's undead. I'm mostly the same as I ever was.
Mom leaned away from us.
Ew! Do you drink blood?
Meg stiffened at that, and then held me to her and stood. I'd rather not get into the gory details. I just wanted to tell you before you saw it on the news or heard it from the neighbors. Now Mom covered her eyes.
The neighbors! What will Steve and Betty say?
I looked up at Meg to see how she would react to that one. She smiled, but sadly. She touched her mother on the shoulder and said, I'm sure you'll find a way to deal with it. Back at the lawyer's condo, Meg carried me into the kitchen from the garage. We found Seiko there, rinsing out empty V1 bottles and putting them into a recycling bin. She said,
How did it go?
Meg put me down on the kitchen floor and headed for the stairs. There was a catch in her voice when she said,
Oh, okay.
She didn't mean it. Why do people say the opposite of what they mean? We cats are always totally up front. We're pissed, we hiss. We're pleased, we purr. We're hungry, we pester the closest associate until we're fed. I saw that Seiko understood it wasn't really okay because she said,
You want to talk?
Shaking her head, Meg said, I think I'll just go up and rest for a while. Maybe work on what I'll say at the press conference. Call me when the reporters get here. She headed up the stairs, her body slumping as if she carried a weight on her shoulders. Seiko watched and then glanced at me. Pretty rough, huh? I looked up at the empty stairs. Well, it wasn't like they had kicked her. At least not physically. And what did she have to be so sad about? Here she was, about to embark on an exciting new career in politics. What did I have to look forward to? Sammy probably had the entire American Vampire Association out looking for me so he could finish cutting my tail off. And what was that wacky Lester up to? Come to think of it, I was feeling a little depressed, too. Well, it's an associate's job to lend aid and comfort, so I trotted upstairs and went to the room Meg and I shared to get a little petting. She hadn't turned any lights on, and she was curled up on the bed. I heard an intake of breath. I hopped up and walked to her. Then she sobbed, so softly that no one but me could have heard. Maybe the idea of being a vampire politician wasn't all that exciting. She opened her eyes and looked at me.
Oh, Patch, I feel so alone.
Stepping carefully, I lay next to her. Being room temperature, I couldn't warm her like I wanted to. But I could at least purr, so I did. She sobbed again. Death sucks. Then she reached out and hugged me to her. But not all the time. I don't know how long we lay there. Her sobs went away, and I thought about things. There hadn't been much time to think. Cats don't normally need to do a lot of thinking. Why should we? We pretty much know all we need to know from the get-go. How to hunt, how to play, how to purr. The necessary stuff. But there wasn't anything in my genetic database about being undead. What Meg said about loneliness was disturbing. In our case, our meaning us V's, it was more than being lonely. Untouchable was more like it. I mean, even her mother had said, Ew! Was I doomed to be repulsive for the rest of my death? Maybe I needed to get out and see if I could locate that little Siamese and find out if my sex life was as moribund as the rest of me. I did a mental survey. I felt all right. No aches or pains. There was an uneasiness in my belly that I recognized as the beginnings of the bloodlust. Meg stirred beside me, probably feeling the same thing. A murmur of voices from downstairs crawled into the room. Riding on top was Sammy's big boom. Well, he was on my turf now. I stood and checked Meg. Her eyes were closed, so I decided to leave her in peace. Downstairs, I paused in the doorway to Tim and Tom's book-lined study. Sammy, with Bruce looming behind him, faced Tom. Behind Sammy and Bruce, a pale-faced guy scribbled in a notepad. Sammy said,
"You can't do this to us. Vampires all over Bloomsburg will be hunted down."
Tom said, "Maybe not. Maybe we'll all be liberated from the repression of discrimination."
"Why take the chance? The AVA has a good thing going, but that will end when there's nothing left but our rotting bodies and the rubble of our building."
The little guy looked pretty desperate.
"Look, we saved you all from having to roam the night."
Sekel said, "Yeah, and then you wanted to handcuff us." Meg's voice came from behind me. "And then you wanted to cut off my cat's tail." Her fingers scratched the top of my head. I walked into the study, Meg beside me. Sammy stepped behind Bruce and pointed at me.
"Keep that mangy corpse away from me."
"Mangy corpse?" I arched my back and bristled. Meg picked me up, and I relaxed in her arms. She said, "I think you owe Patch an apology."
"To a cat? Look, I admit I might have gotten carried away, but that thing attacked me."
A call came from the front of the house. "Hello?" Tim looked out the doorway and then told us, "It's KTBC. Sammy's eyebrows shot up.
"You've got the TV guys here, too?"
"Not any old TV guys, either. It's Ginger Grant." Even I'd heard of Ginger Grant. She was Amy's favorite news person. Me, the only news I was interested in was the day's cat food flavor. Meg moved to stand beside Tom and Tim. "We wanted to get the word out."
"You'll be sorry."
"Is that a threat?"
"That's a promise."
Meg set me down. "How did you know what we were doing?" He aimed a thumb at the guy with a notebook.
"Jerry here is on the newspaper's night shift, and he's one of us."
Jerry gave Meg a little wave. Then a slender, sharp-faced woman in a suit strode into the study and barraged us with questions. "Who's in charge here? Where's this new candidate? What's this nonsense about vampires?" Meg stepped forward. "I'm the candidate, and, unfortunately, it's not nonsense." She stuck out her hand. "I'm a fan. Pleased to meet you, Miss Grant." The woman said, "Yeah." She turned toward the front door and called, "In here." In trooped men bearing cameras and big lights on stands. Sammy eyed the lights as the gaffers set them up. To Meggie said,
"Like I said, you'll be sorry."
He left, with Bruce tagging along. Jerry the reporter found a corner and watched, making a note now and then. After the equipment was set up, Ginger Grant positioned Meg in front of a bookcase. Meg called to me, "Come on, Patch, you're in this too." Grant scowled. "We don't need your pet for this." "Oh, yes we do. I wouldn't be here if it weren't for Patch." I trotted over to Meg. She picked me up and held me to her chest. I wondered if my fur was smooth. Should I give myself a good licking? And what about makeup? Grant said, "Whatever." She held a microphone in her hand. She said, "Testing, testing. We okay?" She swiveled to the cameraman, a bulky bearded guy with a bandana and headphones on his head, who had his eye to the eyepiece. He said, "Sound is good. We've got focus. Want to start on you and widen out?" "Yeah." She faced the camera. "Let's go." The cameraman said, "Lights." The big lights around the room turned on. Screams! Pain! My eyes! The song is Dire Wolf, from Reckoning by the Grateful Dead. Please don't murder me. For more fun, visit VampireKittyCat.com.